with tourism, every destination is simultaneously competing with one another, but also not really, because next summer they can come to your place, or they can pick a trip after the next one to come to yours. And so it's interesting because you're always available, you're always have a potential audience, but it's, yes, when things like this really make people think about travel in a new way, what are you doing as a destination to put yourself in people's minds that way, I guess?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker. Got another great show for you today. It's going to be a little different than the shows that we've been doing recently. I don't have a destination for you today. I've got a special guest, though. He's actually a member of my staff here at Relic, and his name is Camden Bernatz, and he is a digital marketing and SEO specialist here at the agency, and he's been doing some really unique research across our client base and has some findings that we really want to share with you guys. So, Camden, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh, I'm excited to have you. You know, I get to see you every day.
Yeah.
But then to have you on the show is like, it's a different
experience. It's an honor. I waited for my day. It's been good.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And before we dive into some of the stuff you've been working on, you listen to the show. I make you listen to
yes.
the show.
I enjoy it.
So tell me about your dream destination. If you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
So I don't have one specific destination. It's anywhere tropical appeals to me. I've had this weird phase lately where I've been looking at just like these remote islands that I find on Google Maps and like learn about them, see where there is to stay and plan a future trip someday. So that's any kind of remote, isolated, tropical kind of place that appeals to me.
Let's pick one. Give me an example.
I forget some of the more remote ones' names, but there's this one little place. Is it Marquesas? Is that how you say it? Islands off of the coast of Florida, I think.
You get a pass because I have no idea.
I might be pronouncing it wrong, but it's this little island chain. It's not that far from Florida, but it's not very as well known as some of the other destinations, and just looks really cool. They have lots of nice beaches and just your classical tropical island kind of feel. But that's a fun one I've been looking at lately.
Nice. Okay. All right. So your plan when you get to one of those remote islands is just relax. I'm guessing no phone service is important to you there.
I mean, I honestly like relaxing, but I like exploring too. Like I want to go hike around the island, see every you know, different side of it, hike the mountain if there is one. So I like the beaches, but I don't like just sitting and staying on the beaches. I want to go explore what there is and snorkel and do whatever there is to do there. But yeah, I don't sit still when I'm on vacation usually.
Nice. Okay. All right. I like it. I feel like I learned something I didn't know about you, Camden, after working with you for a long time.
There you are.
Okay. What about your favorite trip you've ever been on?
So kind of similar, not a remote island, but I probably have to pick kind of the Riviera Maya area of Mexico, Cancun, Playa del Carmen. We went to a resort there a year or so ago and did some exploring in the area. Some of the old ruins are cool. Tulum we went to. And some of the cenotes, those in the middle of the jungle, there'll be a big pool of water that is kind of hidden. And I liked exploring that stuff and experiencing the nature aspect of it, as well as kind of just some of the history, the Mayan, the things left behind by these ancient civilizations and learning about them. And a lot of it, there isn't as much we know about them. It's kind of a mystery as well, what some of those people were doing or why they were there, why they left. And so just the culture and history of the area, as well as just the outdoor experience, I enjoyed that a lot.
Very cool. Sounds like a great trip. And those cenotes, I've seen pictures of them online and stuff. And what a phenomenon.
Yeah. And they're all like connected, a lot of them. That's the thing I didn't realize, is that they're not just like one here and there. They're often underground, connected through these cool tunnels and stuff people have explored.
Oh, no way.
Sometimes they go miles and miles and you pop up in a new cenote. And that's crazy how it all works.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Interesting stuff. Okay. Well, Camden, thanks for coming on today. I want to... You know, first of all, I'll give some background to this. You sent me an email recently with some of the things that you found. You've been monitoring basically website performance for many destinations since COVID hit. And you were doing it before, but really you've been paying close attention since COVID hit. And I started reading the email that you sent to me with your findings. And I said, not only do we need to know this, but every destination may benefit from knowing this. So tell me a little bit about what led you to start monitoring this and how you kind of got to the point where you're like, man, I need to take a closer look.
Sure. Yeah. So being an agency that's heavily focused in tourism, obviously, we work with a lot of destination clients. And And so we've developed as our agency is to try to help clients respond to the problems of COVID-19 and getting people to come back when it's safe and come back in a safe manner. We've been offering, I think you've talked about it before a little bit, the launch triggers report to help destinations basically decide when is a good time to start advertising for your destination. When is it a good time to invite people to actually come back, and how should that messaging be managed? And so as part of that report, we've helped look at people's at different destinations, traffic data to their website, because if no one's coming to your website, it's probably not an indication they want to come to your destination. And so in doing that and pulling some of those reports, I noticed a trend kind of happening that was a little bit different than what I expected, at least. Back in March, when things really kind of started shutting down and the official pandemic was declared as a pandemic, I would have expected that travel to pretty much fall off the map, which for the most part it has. It's been a rough year for tourism. We've all been trying to respond to that. But what I didn't expect is some of these destination clients that I look at their website and look at their data, is some of them not only didn't fall off as far as organic or direct traffic to their website, but they actually climbed and skyrocketed to the point that a few of these have, even to this point of recording this podcast now, months later, have never dropped back down, and they're getting more traffic to their site than the last 16 months plus.
And I just want to make sure I ask a clarifying question there. So was that immediate upon like the, because it was like March 17th when, at least in my mind, everything kind of went crazy.
Yeah.
Was it immediate, or was it, was there like a few week delay, or when did the spike in traffic start?
Well, that's what stood out to me, is for the ones that did spike, it was almost immediate. There are a few, and some of the data I've kind of been driving into is to find out which ones, the ones that went up in traffic and the ones that didn't, what's the difference between those destinations or their websites. So not every website that I looked at saw that, but for the tourism clients who did increase, it was almost right there that same week, mid-March, that like President Trump made the declaration that there was going to be some travel shutdowns and things like that. All of a sudden, traffic spiked, and for a variety of different travel-related keywords. And so that, initially, I didn't know exactly why. I didn't have any ideas of who the people were that were coming to the website. I just had my kind of some guesses. But that was the first thing that made me think, I want to look closer at this, because this is not what I expected.
Huh. Okay. All right. So as you dug in then, tell me, like, because you started with that, right? You had the hypothesis that things were going to tank. You actually saw the spike. Mm-hmm. Tell me about some of the digging that you did and some of the things you found.
Yeah. So first of all, I wanted to look at, first of all, what the difference was. Is this like a, you know, make sure it's not a seasonal trend that I'm just seeing the wrong thing, and that it's something that's unrelated to the virus and the way that affected travel. And all of them consistently started right about the same time. So it seems like the pandemic announcement and its effect on travel was kind of the main catalyst. I'm doing, you know, SEO work for these clients and stuff, but I don't think I can take credit for all of a sudden a huge jump for all these clients the exact same month. So the first thing I wanted to look at is what type of visitor is coming to the website. Is it different than normal? Is it someone who wants to actually be traveling right now? Are they just thinking about travel and kind of, you know, daydreaming about it? So who are these people? And so I dove into Google Analytics for the most part, that has some data about, you know, geography people are coming to the website from, the keywords they're using to search, the landing pages they land on. And so there's a lot of stuff that we probably won't get all to during this interview right now. But for the most part, I looked at demographic information. And there's an element for those who are familiar with Google Analytics. There's a way you can filter out traffic by what's called in-market audiences or segments. And basically that refers to people who are, if Google determines them to be in-market, that means that they've shown behavior online that indicates they're actually looking to make a purchase of some kind. So if someone's in market for a vehicle, for example, they've been to like dealership websites, they've been looking at price comparisons, things like that, and Google determines them probably likely to buy something.
So I just want to make sure I clarify on that. So when you're doing that for a destination, the other activity that they've been doing, whether it's in their search activity or sites they're visiting, things like that, are indicating that they're in the market to book a trip.
Yeah. So for example, in tourism, it'd be visiting hotel pages or looking up flight plans or things like that. And Google keeps that pretty protective for people's privacy, so I don't have the exact data, everyone who they are, but they can see what people are doing on their search platform, and they can show these are the people who are most likely to buy something. And then they also have what's similar but a little bit different is interest groups. the people who have shown an interest in something but are not in market for it. Like, they haven't gone to the actual purchase type pages or websites, but they're looking up things about planning or information or how-to videos or things like that. And so what stood out to me is most of these destinations who had this big increase in traffic right around the pandemic, when it finally took hold on travel, was that the people who were coming to these websites, for the most part, weren't in market. There was a few, there were still some increases in some specific categories, but for the most part, they weren't looking to buy right now, but they were very, very interested in travel. Now, I don't want to read too much into that, especially with having such a small sample size of just the clients that we work with over here and have access to their website.
Let me clarify one thing real quick for our audience, yeah. And that's that what we do know 100% is what the data.
Yeah.
But interpreting that data and saying, okay, why is this happening? There is speculation there, right?
Like, of course, yeah.
It's not like we had a focus group with people that performed these activities and that we're able to share the psychographic insights that come along with that. But I do want to make sure people understand the data is what it is. Mm-hmm. But we are going to speculate a little bit in this conversation.
Yeah, yeah. We want to help our clients understand. We want to help destinations understand what they can take from it, and obviously with a grain of salt, understanding that it's our interpretation of it. But yeah, what it seemed to me, at least, is showing that there's a huge increase in interest in travel, but not so much of an in-market segment. People are, we kind of call them the daydreamers. They're people who are like, not only do they want to travel, but they're longing for it more than ever. It's that you want the thing you can't have, right? And so as soon as travel shuts down, whether you either aren't allowed to go to the place you want to, or you just don't feel like it's a good idea and isn't going to be safe, people are just really wanting that thing more. And so
it's kind of like the marshmallow test, right? That you do with little kids, and you say, look, if you don't eat that marshmallow, when I come back, you'll get two, and you leave and you come back and they always eat the marshmallow, right? Like, it's kind of the same thing with these travelers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that was an interesting insight, which is, again, maybe hindsight 2020, like, it makes sense that that's happening. I just didn't expect that personally. I thought, okay, people aren't going to worry about travel until it makes sense to do so. But there wasn't even a delay for these destinations. Like, mid-March, they're like, oh my gosh, I want to travel now, and or at least plan the travel. And maybe that's for next year, or who knows when they're thinking about going. But they started going to the websites to make their plans or get inspiration pretty quickly, it seems like. And another interesting insight is the geography. This one was a little bit more as expected, but drive markets, as we call them, the cities and states that are nearest to these destinations, saw the biggest increase in this traffic during this time.
So that was a hypothesis that I think everybody had. I know I remember talking about it on the show right when coronavirus hit, that drive markets were going to be critical. I think what you're saying is that the data definitely shows that. I'm not saying just like everybody in the industry said this, so it's not like I'm taking credit for it. That was a correct assumption.
Yes. According to what we have, data, there's definitely an increase. And there is some surprising, there is still some faraway states or something like that might have seen an increase. I saw those for a few different destinations, but the general overall trend is anything, a bordering state to your U.S. state, if it was a U.S. destination, they all increased.
Okay. Interesting. What else did you find, Camden?
Let's see. So we found that this one, again, has to have some personal evaluation, I guess. It's not so much database, but it's looking at the data we do have and then making some extrapolations based on that. Is it would seem that the destinations who have the strongest brand also saw the biggest increase. So
how did you decide that? I'm curious about that.
It's basically the things that you hear about and see most ads about. So that one's not super data relevant. Should I mention these destinations here?
Yeah,
should I?
Okay,
absolutely. So one of them, for example, is we work with Madera County, California, and Yosemite National Park is just a very well-known national park,
sure.
Right? And so some of that's just from, I can see the search volume on Google, for example, how many people are searching for those kind of keywords. And I know that that's just a very popular, before the pandemic, was already a very popular online destination. People want to go learn about Yosemite National Park. And that's one of the destinations that shot up really quick during this time.
You know, okay, here's the speculation, guys, that we talked about that I'm about to throw out here. But I do want to make sure that I do think there's conclusions that you can draw. And one possible conclusion is, I think a lot of people realized their mortality, right?
Yeah.
When the pandemic hit, and all of a sudden everybody's bucket list got a lot more important.
Yeah.
Right. And so you've got these big brand keywords or destinations that people have been thinking, oh, I'd love to go there sometime. And the pandemic hits and it's like, I'm going to get serious about my bucket list. Right. So I don't know. That's just I wonder if that's an insight that, and we'd have to do focus groups to make sure that that's correct or a survey or whatever. But it's, if that's the case and you are a bucket list destination, to me, that says I should talk about myself that way.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe my messaging should say, you know, everybody says now is the time, but now how do you say that in the right way that it resonates with what's motivating the consumer to focus more on that keyword now than ever before?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Another one who is not a client of ours, but I did some Google Trends research to just see across Google what types of destinations are people typing in searches for. And one of the highest spikes for any of them, again, following the pandemic kind of timeline, was Yellowstone National Park, which people know is outdoor, social distance. It's also a very strong brand name. Everyone knows about that place, and it's usually on someone's bucket list. And so that was another destination that actually, according to Google's data, didn't drop off as far as traffic, but shot up, and is more people searching for that the last few months than ever before, it seems like. So that's another indication that that also would indicate that people are trying to social distance. That's, you know, these aren't like little small crowded areas, they're big open expanses. But yeah, people are thinking kind of those main, when you think about travel, what pops in your head without any advertising necessarily, like you just know about that place, those are the things people were going and searching for more than other places. We had some other clients who didn't totally tank or drop off the map as far as online traffic, but they were maybe smaller or newer to marketing themselves, maybe not as nationally recognized currently, and they didn't see the same level of spike. And so that's, again, our interpretation of it, but I think that would be a good assumption to make is brand helps.
For me, yes, exactly. Your closing line there, brand helps. For me, if you haven't done the groundwork that it takes to build an effective brand for your destination, you find out how unprepared you are when a crisis hits and these big name destinations are growing because they're on the bucket list, and your destination isn't necessarily getting the same spike in traffic, you haven't made it onto the bucket list. So how can we build your brand as a destination and get you on the list?
Yeah, tourism's interesting because ever since coming to Relic and really focusing on that from a marketing perspective, it's interesting because it's different than other industries where, you know, if I'm selling shoes and you need one pair of shoes, you're going to buy my product or someone else's, and then you're kind of done until your shoes wear out, right? But tourism, every destination is simultaneously competing with one another, but also not really, because next summer they can come to your place, or they can they can pick a trip after the next one to come to yours. And so it's interesting because you're always available, you're always have a potential audience, but it's, yes, when things like this really make people think about travel in a new way, or their timeline changes, or they think about their own mortality, like you said, what are you doing as a destination to put yourself in people's minds in that way, I guess. I don't know how to say that exactly.
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying ties in with the marketing funnel, right? The marketing funnel has three phases, and there's a million different variations of it, but the way we look at it is awareness, consideration, and purchase. And the way I look at what you're seeing with this website traffic that you've been examining is a lot of people went straight to the consideration phase when the pandemic hit, because they're like, okay, we need to go to a place we've always wanted to go to, or a place we can socially distance, some of these wide open spaces, right? But the problem is, if you hadn't been in the awareness phase and hadn't made them aware of your destination, you didn't get to participate as much in the consideration phase that happened, nor the purchase phase that comes next, right? And once again, I want everybody to understand, this is some speculation here, and there's some research that would be need to be done in order to confirm some of the speculation we're drawing from this. But I don't think it's difficult to build that bridge, right? Mm-mm. That if your traffic didn't spike, you're one of two things. You're either an urban destination that people are afraid to go to right now, or have been afraid to go to, or your brand wasn't well known enough to make it onto the consideration list.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And understanding this is a very small sample case study or whatever you want to call it, what I want to share with people is not so much that we found definitive proof of exactly what we're thinking about, but what I would want to do is encourage destinations to look at these things for themselves. Because as we're all trying to figure out how to increase or recover as far as tourism goes, if you are a destination that's seeing these huge spikes, it would indicate people are they're wanting to come. So as soon as it's safe to do so and you have the ability to handle them, market to them, tell them to come, show them what to do. And if you're not and people are dropping off as far as, you know, visits to your website, for example, that means you maybe need to message a little bit differently. Maybe you need to help gain trust as far as showing the safe things you're doing or just doing things to get on the map if you're not there. And so I don't know, it's all depending on who you are as a destination, but I just would encourage people to not just wait and then assume things are going to be the same when travel picks up again. This has changed the way people look about travel, and so prepare yourself for that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about our process then, because you know, we've got clients that fall into both of these categories, mm-hmm. right? Some with the travel spike and some that didn't have the traffic spike.
Yeah.
And some that didn't have the traffic spike. Well, for the ones that had the traffic spike, if it's me, and we'll use Madera County that you brought up as the example, right? And we have several other national parks that we work with, but we'll use that one. With Madera County, the search volume is related to Yosemite National Park,
yeah.
right? Like that's what's happening. So if I'm Madera County, California, and I'm not overloaded with visitation right now, which some national parks, so for example, I chatted with the Smoky Mountain National Park, Jackson County, North Carolina. I chatted with them, and the moment the lockdown ended, they were breaking records. And they broke every room tax generation record that they had ever had
Wow. The
3 months following the lockdown. So we're talking like May, June, July, right? And it may have been June, July, August. I can't remember. It was one of those two. But as soon as the lockdown ended, and, you know, I look at that and I say, okay, well, if there's a destination that sees this spike in volume, traffic, right, and they're not experiencing these record-breaking times, my advertising is shifting entirely to advertising the national park.
Yeah.
Right? Because we know that that's what people are looking for right now. And unless you've got a traffic problem or too many people, look, everybody needs to be represented in your tourism advertising. The real challenge that we have is that the politics of every destination is that all the stakeholders want to be represented. But the low-hanging fruit right now is those highest search keywords. And if we are trying to keep the businesses within our destination open and give them the support that they need, the best chance of capturing the traffic from that consideration phase is by using that big rock attraction like the national park.
Yeah, exactly. Another good example of that is we work with San Juan County, Utah, which is Monument Valley covers part of that county. And that's kind of one of their main draws or as far as a keyword organic traffic perspective. And I do work on their website. And so I've been seeing their data for about a year now. And starting in March, almost all of their top 10 keywords that drive traffic are things like, is Monument Valley open? Can I travel to Monument Valley? When is Monument Valley going to be available? Monument Valley COVID-19, things like that. It's all Monument Valley, which is a good and a bad thing. You want to repeat all your county. You want people to come for other reasons as well. But like you said, if that's what gets them there, then make sure that your Monument Valley page, for example, is directing to local lodging options or restaurants or other nearby attractions that are safe to visit. Just as an example, as you use the traffic that's coming in and help show them what to do, but use that as like what you're promoting.
Get them there with the big rock attraction and then work on your visitor distribution plan once they get there or during the trip planning phase. So for example, if I use... Let's use Monument Valley. If I use Monument Valley to get them to book the trip, I should be sending a follow-up email with a get-off-the-beaten-path itinerary for them to help them plan their trip, right? So some interesting things that you can do. And on the example that you use with Monument Valley, the thing that stands out to me is those questions. Like, these are questions. Is it open? Can I visit? You know, how do I, whatever, right? And I look at that, should our advertising then be answering those questions proactively? Should our Facebook ads say, Monument Valley is open, right? Mm-hmm. Or, it is safe to visit. Here's how. Click through to find out how. Or maybe we create a piece of content called The Traveler's Guide to Monument Valley, right? And we start we know there's questions. I mean, those are the key, the search keywords, right? So now do we build our content or our advertising plan to match the answers to those questions?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's something that's going to be, data is going to be a little bit different for every destination. So yeah, look at the keywords. What are people searching that lands them on your page? Is it more of a I'm ready to come now type of messaging? If so, tell them to come now and how to do it. If they seem to be more kind of hesitant, or the daydreamers that are thinking about travel, then that message is going to change again. But yeah, by knowing that information, you traffic alone to your website, you still need to break that down, understand where it's coming from, why they're coming. One other thing I wanted to share as well, yeah. I found is looking at demographic information was also the difference in age and how the generational differences and as far as what they're looking for and when they're coming. So I looked at three different counties of those three that I initially found that had jumped up in traffic, and looked at the age breakdown as far as the generational difference and how they came to the website, or if they increased or decreased. And one of the most consistent things across all generations, or not generations, across all destinations that increased in traffic is the younger generation was the highest increase. So the 18 to 24 year old age group were the ones that came to the website in more, in a greater boost in percentage of visits year over year. And they were also the ones that were more commonly in market to make a purchase. So if anybody was looking to actually travel now, it was the 18 to 24 year old group. For example, we talked about Madera County, California, just to pull their data really quick. For the 18 to 24 year old age group year over year, for the March till October is when I pulled data from, there was a 448% increase in visits from 18 to 24 year olds in that time. For another county in Utah I looked at, it was up 158%. And for that Monument Valley, San Juan County, 18 to 24 year olds came to the website 659% more year over year than they were previously. So they definitely, wow, are the most eager to travel.
Let me jump in there.
Yeah.
The thing that's interesting to me about that is there's a lot of destinations who have built their brand marketing to the baby boomer crowd, right? Or even the next generation up, right? And while that served them well up until this point, I think the likelihood of those two generations traveling as much, you're seeing it with the website traffic, right? They're kind of slowing down on their searches and things, and the younger generation's traffic is increasing. So now, as a destination, I need to be looking at my tactics. I need to be looking at my messaging. I need to be looking and making sure that I understand how Gen Z visits versus how the baby boomers used to, yeah, visit. And am I promoting my destination in the way that's going to set me apart? And there's a big question right now. Sorry, I want to get back to this, but I'm going to go off on a tangent here. But there's a big question right now about, should I be marketing? Is it safe to market? I would say that this data says these people are going to be booking trips. Like, they are searching. They want to travel, right? So can I, in my destination, responsibly support that traffic? My businesses that have contributed so much to my customer experience, in order for them to survive, we need to have them make some money in this process, yeah, right? And so if these people are going to book a trip, they're in the consideration phase, why not us? Why not here, yeah, as a destination? So I think the balance between safety and, you know, sustenance, I think is what I said in another episode, that the balance between safety and sustenance, to in order to successfully accomplish that, I think the focus should be on making your product safe, but still get the visitation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they want to come, but they want to be taken care of as well. Like, they want to travel responsibly, and they want to make sure that it's a responsible destination to go to, right? So help them see, yes, you can come, and here's the ways we're making it safe. So don't lie about it, obviously. Make it safe for them to come, but then help communicate that, because they want a reason that they think it's a good idea to come to your destination. So help put them at ease and show them all the great things to do while being responsible. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. All right. That was a little tangent. Let's get back to those three counties. Is there anything else you found there that you wanted to talk about?
Just that, not anything specifically. I tried to think through this data, and I was it's taking me a couple, you know, months of looking at it to put my thoughts together. But overall, if I could just kind of sum up the, I guess, recommendations you could say, or the things to think about for your destination, whoever might be listening, is, first of all, understand your data. If you haven't looked at it, you should be. You're missing out on insights if you haven't looked at those things.
But do you have to be like a data scientist to really interpret Google Analytics well? How do you do that well?
Yeah, so I mean, the more you know, obviously it helps. But Google is very user friendly, and I refer to Google because they're kind of, you know, the king of search engines. Sure. Online. I mean, there's information you can get from others as well, but Google Analytics and Google Search Console are two tools that integrate together that will show you most of your traffic is going to be coming from Google, and they make it pretty easy. There's just tabs that you can click on that show audience insights, break it down by location, by demographic, by the keywords being used, things like that. And so, no, as long as you kind of know what a keyword is or what a demographic, you know, qualifier might be, you can just click on that and look at it. So it's not too difficult. I'd say make sure you're doing that, or get someone who is better than you at it to look at it and help interpret it for you. And then, again, as far as the insights that from this kind of small sample case study we've done, is that drive markets, of course, are important and continue to be so. More than perhaps ever before during 2020, and I'm sure into the next year. The younger demographic is seems to be most eager. Not that the other ones aren't also looking to travel, but definitely more so than ever before. The importance of reaching the young people is key right now. And then also the fact that there's two different kinds of people who are interested in travel right now. There are those looking to travel as soon as they can. They'll book a flight tomorrow. And there are those who don't want to travel right now because they know it, they don't feel like it's safe, or they just aren't ready to do so. Or maybe they've had financial setbacks this year, whatever it might be. But they really are wanting to plan a trip sometime. And that messaging might be different. If your traffic is looking to come now, help them come now and do so safely. But maybe you have a big interest in your destination and you just can't, they're not going to actually come and book a trip right now. How do you want to talk to them? How do you want them to prepare? Or is that sending a trip planner itinerary type thing as opposed to specific, like, you know, hotel information? Or I don't know, I'm just making up examples, but that messaging might be a little bit different depending what kind of destination you are. And then there's the third type we talked about, which is maybe they're not interested at all right now. Not ideal, but then that's going to be different messaging as well. Get them to just think about you. And as far as the avenues that you're taking to get your brand out there, the messaging, the calls to action, that'll all be dependent on that data. But if you're not looking at the data, you don't know who you should be speaking to and how to do so.
Yeah, I think it's critical to be reviewing this data on a consistent basis, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's in a monthly Google Analytics report or what. And then once you review it, it's important to pull the lever, right? Yeah. Like, and there's levers you can pull. So let's talk about a few of those. First one that we talked about early in the conversation was, if you need to strengthen your brand, and so if you're seeing that your search volume is not spiking like some of these big brands are, to me that says I've got brand work to do.
Yeah.
Right? So one of the things that you can do, maybe it's time for a rebrand. If you've been targeting baby boomers and even the older generation for years and years and years, maybe it's time to refresh that visual identity to appeal to a younger audience, you know. The other lever that I think you can pull is in your messaging, right?
Yeah.
And then in your content strategy, how do I, for example, when that high search volume is coming in on a Yosemite National Park, how do I still work on a visitor distribution plan that doesn't overload, you know, these small parts of my destination that get 90% of the traffic, right? Yeah. And then I think the last lever you can pull is tactics, changing tactics, right? If you see that your audience has got a 600% jump in Generation Z, maybe it's time to try TikTok. To me, those are the levers that I think you can pull right now, right? Is brand, messaging, tactics. And you need to use the data to decide what the best lever is to pull and how to do it.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah. It's easier said than done, of course, but that's the work to be done right now. And that's, yeah, we, there may be destinations who, like you said, have had kind of the same type of audience or visitor for years in, you know, in the past, and now that might have changed, or whether it's a long-term change or temporary, it's to be seen. But 2020 is a year to just revisit all that stuff, because it's changed the way we travel or don't travel. But yeah, exactly.
Camden, this is nice work, man. I mean, what a good piece of deep dive that you've done here.
Thanks. Yeah, for what it's worth. I mean, if nothing else, I hope it gets people thinking about this stuff for their own destination. But yeah, it was interesting for me to go through, and if nothing else, it helped me realize that we shouldn't just assume the way things are going to affect our industry. Some of it might seem obvious looking back, but like I just wouldn't have expected that we saw such a increase. Not only did they stay steady, but an increase in interest in travel as a result of this. And so things to be looking for. Prepare yourself for the next worldwide pandemic or whatever shakes up the industry. But the more we're prepared, the better we'll be to respond to it, obviously.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Camden. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody. This has been another great episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. If you heard something interesting, don't wait. Action on it now. And thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.